Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
When he was in his early 20s, Grant Sabatier was a college grad living with his parents without enough money to buy a burrito. By 30, he'd saved $1 million. He's now 32, the vice president of a company that started as a sidebar, and he writes the blog Millennial Money. Its mantra, save. Grant joins us from Houston, Texas. Bring us back to that moment when you realized, I have nothing. I live with my parents.
It was August 2010. I woke up and I wanted to go grab a burrito. I knew that my money was low, didn't quite realize how little money I had. I logged into my phone, checked the balance, and I had $2.26 left in my bank account, which was not even enough to get a side of guacamole, let alone that burrito. So pretty much rock bottom for me at my life then, and really just didn't want to feel that way ever again, and started very aggressively on my own saving and investing journey.
Well, we'll talk about how you saved and how you advise others do as well. But, you know, your 20s, you're supposed to not have any money, you know, starving post-students, and it sounds like kind of a stressful thing to do in your 20s.
Yeah, it actually ended up being a pretty stressful thing to do. But one of the things I realized is, you know, I'd learned a little bit at that time about compounding interest. And so one of the biggest assets that I realized I had was just time. The value of saving when you're young is significantly more valuable than saving really at any time of your life. And so, you know, I started to make that mindset shift where, you know, I wanted to make as much money as possible, really so I could invest it and use compound interest, you know, to my advantage.
Well, and I know there's half the listening audience is probably going, what interest? Compound interest.
Ben Franklin called it the eighth wonder of the world. It's just the simple idea that over time, you know, when your money, say you invest in the stock market or you invest even in a savings account and your money makes interest. So say you invest a dollar and you get 10% interest, then you have $1.10. And then that next year, when you're getting interest again, you're making interest on your dollar and 10 cents, not just your dollar. So over a long period of time, that interest then compounds and the interest grows pretty significantly. So, you know, Ben Franklin, you know, he invested a couple thousand dollars back in the late 1700s. And just that money that he invested then, that compounding over that period is worth hundreds of millions of dollars today.
Well, there you are. Even Ben Franklin makes an appearance in your story here. So you decide it's not just about making money, but it's about investing and saving money. And you get a good job. You've got a $50,000 a year marketing agency job when this story starts, but decided to work extra. Find a side hustle is your first tip. What do you mean by that?
In my quest to really invest as much money as possible, I did the simple math. And, you know, if you're making $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year and you're saving, you know, 5 to 10% of your income, it's pretty hard to save enough and invest enough money to even retire in the next 30, 35 years. So one of the biggest things is when you look at the most successful people or the most successful and wealthiest people in the world, they really have two things in common. A lot of them are entrepreneurs and a lot of them have multiple income streams. And so even me with my $50,000 a year job, I knew that I needed to diversify my income streams and then invest as much money as the, you know, as I could from those extra income streams.
Yeah. So you do things like sell concert tickets. You launched a consulting company. You were building websites for businesses. I can see people saying, oh, on the side, I could drive an Uber car. But people are finding that some of those gigs in the gig economy, it's hard to save. They're low paying and they don't have benefits like company provided insurance.
To your point, the Uber example, it's tough to get ahead as an Uber driver, especially if you're using it as your primary source of income. But my friends who are Uber drivers, a lot of them now, they're doing it just to invest. So the future value of that dollar that they're making today on Uber is going to be worth $4 or $5 into the future. Mm. I tend to prefer and recommend side hustles that you're using to build skills. If you invest in your skills, if you learn to code, even if you, you know, say you walk dogs in your neighborhood and you build that skill and you build a client base and then you turn it into a small business, and then all of a sudden you've got, you know, multiple income streams in a business as opposed to just a simple side hustle.
Okay. So then you have the idea of how much to save, and you did the math again, and you figured out that you could meet your goal of $1 million by 30 if you saved at least $50 a day and earned on that saved money about 5% a year. Have I got that right?
Yeah, that's it. The $50 a day early retirement strategy.
And I can hear someone saying, like, there's no way I have an extra $50 a day, but you started at $5 a day.
Yeah, starting at $5 a day really adds up. So if you save $5 a day and just invest it in a simple Vanguard total stock market index fund, and you get between 5% and 7% annually on that, you know, $5 a day that you're depositing, you'll have about $177,000 in 30 years.
Yeah.
And that's just $5 a day. And what I figured out is, for me personally, I determined that I needed $1,250,000 to retire, which is essentially 25 times my expected annual expenses of $50,000 per year. And I figured that in order to get there, I needed to save $50 a day for the next 30 years. And so when I shifted my mindset and started thinking about it on a day-to-day basis, then every dollar that I could save over that $50, I was going to be able to retire earlier.
Well, when you say you shifted your mindset,
sure.
Sounds like this is all you were thinking about. First of all, by the way, you also cut your spending. So you went from saving 50% of your paycheck to 25, eventually more than 40%. You were living in a really nice apartment, I understand, about $1,500 in Chicago, cut that to $800. It sounds like you were getting a little obsessed with this.
I think you're right. I think I did get a little obsessed with it, but I knew that's kind of what it would take to accelerate my financial independence. I knew that the stock market was set for a recovery. So every dollar that I invested and sacrificed back then in 2010, 2011 is worth $3.25 today.
Now, I was going to ask you, how much do you think you actually put away to get to the million?
I ended up putting away about $350,000 to $400,000.
Wow.
And now I have really kind of the rest of my life to, you know, pursue the projects that I'm interested in.
Unless you fall victim to the dreaded lifestyle inflation.
Oh, lifestyle inflation.
We read about this in the Washington Post that, you're scrimping and you're getting the change out of the couch pillows, you're investing. Suddenly there it is. You've got that $1 million, you're 30 years old. It's amazing how quickly the mind can flip and suddenly you're spending.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm human like anyone else. That's what people. It's like, yeah, sure, I saved $1 million by the time I was 30, but I make a lot of mistakes. And I share a lot of the mistakes that I make very openly on the blog. And one of the biggest ones is just lifestyle inflation. The calculation is built around me saving, not saving, but being able to spend about $50,000 per year for the rest of my life. And so if I go considerably over that, I'm going to have to make more money and invest it. The thing is, once I reach financial independence, you know, I didn't stop working. I'm still making quite a bit of money. And so I have some more flexibility there. But I quickly realized last year that I was spending a lot more money than I'd ever spent and that, you know, I really had to rein it in and get it under control.
Yeah, you were spending maybe, thousands on a Napa Valley weekend or $75 for takeout. And that's a cautionary tale. That million can go fast.
It can totally go fast, and this is one of the things I hear from a lot of lawyers and doctors that read my blog that haven't saved anything, and they wonder where it all went. So, you know, it's always about finding that balance between spending and saving and just really being honest, you know, with yourself about, is what I'm spending money on, is it making me happy? The biggest takeaway is, you know, a lot of people think money is a lot more complicated than it actually is. And if you just start paying yourself first and view saving as an opportunity as opposed to a sacrifice, and you just keep putting it away, you know, you're going to wake up in 5, 10, or 15 years with a lot more money than you realized you would ever be able to have. It's really just about breaking it down, taking it a day at a time. It's really, really hard to think, how am I going to save $1 million or $2 million? But if you break it down each day and try to save as much as you can, it really adds up pretty quickly.
That's Grant Sabatier. He writes the Millennial Money blog, and he's also now Vice President of Digital Strategy for Eduvantis Digital. Grant, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. This was a lot of fun. I appreciate it, Robin.